This is the Insight is Capital podcast.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast are those of the individual guests and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of AdvisorAnalyst.com or of our guests. This broadcast is meant to be for informational purposes only. Nothing discussed in this broadcast is intended to be considered as advice.
Welcome back to this episode of Insight is Capital. I'm Pierre Daly, and we're thrilled to have Barbara Stewart, CFA, renowned global researcher, author, and former portfolio manager, joining us. Barbara is a leading voice in the world of women in finance, and today we'll dive into her latest white paper, Women in Alts, A Global Perspective.
Barbara, welcome to the show. It's great to have you on. And you may not know this, we're big fans of your work. We've been following your writings at the CFA Institute's Enterprising Investor for many years. So welcome.
Thank you so much. Thank you. It's just a delight to be here. I'm looking forward to our chat today very much.
Likewise. And I'm excited to talk to you here about your latest work, which can all be found in your deeply researched recent white paper titled Women and Alts, A Global Perspective, which was commissioned by Kensington Capital Partners.
Exactly. Bravo to Kensington for this commissioned research.
Absolutely. Barbara, before we dig into it, for those who don't know you, please tell us a little bit about the arc of your career, how you got into the business in the first place, and where your life's work has taken you.
I started out way back in the 80s as a Xerox sales representative. And one day I walked into a trading room. It was the BMO Nesbitt trading room way back in the early 90s. And I just fell in love with the energy of the trading room. And it took me 47 interviews with five different banks to get a job. And I finally landed a job in institutional sales in FX, put on the desk as a guinea pig, and somehow figured it out against all odds because I had no background really in understanding interest rates or FX.
Right.
And there, after 5 years in the trading room, I moved into private client wealth management and stayed there. And most recently was a partner with Cumberland Private Wealth for about a decade. And I started simultaneously while working with high net worth entrepreneurs doing research in the area of women and finance. And the reason I started doing the research is it was during the financial crisis. And I thought that, you know what, there were a lot of men calling up trying to cash out around the period of the lows in the market.
Right.
And yet there were all these myths that it were women that were risk averse. And I started thinking a lot about that. And I thought, you know, the messaging in our industry is a little bit outdated and pretty darn negative towards women and investing. So I had the opportunity to travel with my husband. He's with Deloitte in tech, media, and telecom, presenting around the world. So I thought, why don't I interview a bunch of super successful women around the world and share some positive messages to try to offset these negative stereotypes, if you will. I thought I'd write one white paper. That was 15 years ago. And one thing led to another, and now that's what I do full time, my own proprietary rich thinking research and also commissioned research, such as the one that's just been commissioned by Kensington most recently.
That's amazing. But what inspired you to write this extensive white paper on women and alternative investments?
Well, yeah, it's certainly the deepest piece of research I've ever done and the one I've enjoyed the most because it was so intensive all summer. But the inspiration for it came because my most recent rich thinking paper was called What's in Your Investment Portfolio? And for that paper that was released in Stockholm on March 8th, 2024, so earlier this year, I interviewed 50 people, half men, half women around the world, and actually just found out what's in their current portfolio. I thought that would be really interesting to find out what do they actually own, not what they talk about owning, what they actually have in their portfolio. But the kind of most important finding that came out of that research was that I found out globally men have double the exposure to alternative assets. And that just struck me like really loud and clear. Like, what is that? I really wanted to understand what was behind that because, as we all know, with alternative assets, specifically private equity, I mean, there's just been a report between the years 2000 and 2023 Private equity returns were 4.6% higher than public equity market returns. So are women missing out on making enough money for their long lives? Right. That's a big issue to me. And I decided to talk about this with Tom Kennedy, who is the founder of Kensington. And I said, you know, what do you think of this finding? And do you think it's an opportunity as a way of figuring out how we could attract more ultra high net worth female investors? And Tom found it completely interesting as well. And we were just so curious. He decided, okay, I said, listen, why don't I interview senior leaders in the finance industry everywhere. I did 52 interviews this summer with a diverse array of people. I mean, academics, portfolio managers, institutional salespeople, CEOs in the finance world, in banks in Australia, all over the place. And I had a one-hour Zoom call with each of them and then wrote a commentary for them, which is all available in the paper. It's just a huge Fantastic. Amount of content for anyone who's interested.
That's amazing. So now you in your white paper, you highlighted this alt gap. Barbara, what are the most significant obstacles that you see preventing women from investing in alternative assets?
Well, it kind of was across the board globally, which I found interesting. So yes, there were cultural nuances along the way, and some places were a little bit worse or better than others. But more or less, there were three key barriers that people came up with and commented on throughout the paper. And the first one is that alts are opaque, if you will. So
right.
you know, generally, they're less liquid investments, as we know. And women as a tribe really prefer to know absolutely everything about something before they make an investment. And we haven't done a good job as an industry in providing access to information to all people. So there have been this second thing, which is lack of a network effect for women. So
right.
a lot of the times that we see people showing deals, it's not being shown across the board to everyone. You've got to be in the right network to have access to those deals. So that's an issue. And then the third one is really we're still, unfortunately, for the most part, in the game of macho-themed marketing.
Right.
So, you know, I talked to Nordea Bank in Stockholm, which is where I was on International Women's Day last year. And they were saying that their marketing, I mean, they've come a long way in alts, and there are a lot more female alt managers now, but the ads are still men in suits all the time. And right. there's still like sort of two women in a room of 20 if anybody's talking about alternative assets. So there's just a lot of work to be done. And I think creating awareness, it was really my number one goal here of, hang on, this can't be that hard to solve the issue. And there's a lot to gain if we do solve the issue.
Yeah, I nodded and then laughed when I read the you know the remarks like eat what you kill and
yeah
right the you know that sort of man's world you know attitude of schoolboys in a trading room and you know
and
I think that goes back you know that goes back to that reminds me of Michael Lewis's Liar's Poker
yeah. Sure. I mean, it's very not as bad as it used to be back
yeah.
then, but it's still not exactly conducive to attracting a female investor to the environment, for sure.
You know, looking at the, like, we're so tempted here, you know, on our side to create mini content modules about, you know, all the various types of alternatives that are out there, like strategies like long short and market neutral and merger arbitrage and event-driven credit and you know those things are getting explained in a much more understandable way, and I think that benefits everybody, not just women.
That's a key point.
Who want to know more, but men too. I think you know, right? I mean, I for as long as I've been in the industry, the business has never been really that good at explaining. You know, it seems to be getting clearer now that, you know, things like private equity and private credit are being understood.
I think it's still got a long way to go in terms of this.
Yeah.
Showed me that, I mean, unlisted securities there really needs to be a lot bigger effort to tell the stories behind what are these companies that we're actually investing in? What do they do even, rather than just talk a fund where nobody understands what's even in the fund and what are they accessing by buying that fund?
One of the things I was most surprised by was the size of the private equity market versus public markets. I don't think a lot of people realize that the private equity market is 8 times larger than public equity markets.
Yeah, that also surprised me even not so many years ago. It's just not a well-known thing. And we just have marketing is really in need here big time. And I think innovation in marketing will probably come from women moving forward for these reasons.
As companies seek to satisfy that need to explain things better to everyone, but especially to women.
Yeah, because that's random.
It'll just happen. Yeah. So coming back to, you mentioned you had interviewed 52 global finance leaders. Which of their insights surprised you the most and why?
Well, I think the biggest surprise, one surprise was going into it, because of the amount of research I've done on women and money over the last 15 years, my key finding all along the way was women prefer to invest in causes and concerns that really matter to them. And I was going into this industry leaders project by thinking everybody's going to talk about ESG and that's what's necessary. And that's, of course, been a sector that's been flourishing for the last few years. But one of my big surprises was ESG has really taken kind of a second place. What's important to women around the world today is investing across all sectors and with the goal and the primary objective of making money. And nobody was afraid to talk about that. It's a much more, let's make some money. Let's have equal access to alternative investments. We're interested in them. We're interested. Now show us how to get invested in these things and give us all the information that we need to do our due diligence to make an appropriate investment decision. Talk about the risks, the rewards, everything else we need to know. Then we'll invest. We're as interested in investing results as men are. We just want more information to do our homework. And then the other, I found pretty big surprise, and maybe not. It shouldn't be a surprise due to geopolitics these days, but the defense sector is a very important investment sector to women. And it used to be, as you know, CAF was kind of in along with sin stocks, like shouldn't be buying this, maybe a bad reputation, like tobacco or alcohol. But now a lot of these leaders told me that women are very interested in investing in defense, drone technology, radar technology, not just to protect their families, but actually, again, to make money, seeing this as a big opportunity sector in today's environment.
So that sounds like the industry has been very presumptuous.
Aren't we good at that?
To presume to know what women are interested in and then try to deliver it, almost forcefully.
Yeah. One gentleman I interviewed who's in the private equity world in the UK, he said, when I asked him if I could interview him, he said, nobody's ever talked about this before. Nobody's ever said, and he was with a major consulting firm, and what do women actually want to invest in? I thought that was fascinating.
That's amazing. I think a lot of people in the business would be surprised by that remark, which is, all this time I've just been, talking about, very, very soft and fluffy ideas. And little did I know that these women are interested in investing in private businesses. They're interested in private lending. They're interested. Well, why wouldn't I do that? I remember in my time as an advisor, losing clients because I had not spoken to them about something that in one case was an advisor down the hall from me who had. And I thought, I didn't talk to you about that. And when we met for the last time, my response to her was, I didn't talk to you about that because I didn't think it was suitable for you. And we said, and then of course silence, right? Well, I am interested. And that's so this, you know, I had this conversation we're having is reminding me of that. And now I'm realizing, okay, I was presumptuous about.
But we learn most from those horrifying experiences, right? Which we've all had as advisors. And you really learn the most from your big mistakes like that.
Barbara, you offer practical strategies for attracting more women to alternative assets. I think we've touched on some of that in terms of the sort of the lead up to that. But which strategies do you think hold the greatest potential for making a real impact? If advisors are taking a lot of things for granted or presuming attitudes among their clients who are women, like how do you go about doing that effectively? I mean, first change the mindset, right? But
I think, first of all, everyone should read the paper if they're interested, because there's a whole section on how to attract more women into the alternative asset category. And it's not just my opinion. This is the opinions from some pretty senior marketers around the world. So, I mean, there's top level advice here for how to attract more clients. So definitely read the section. But if I were to pick one or two things that specifically seem to work, I mean, that have been proven marketing strategies, one is taking a very curated approach and getting a small group of high net worth or ultra high net worth women together and discussing all of these alternative assets in great detail, in conversation, talking about the stories behind the companies that are up for grabs in terms of investments and the opportunities, but really taking the time to go into detail and tell the stories behind it. And the people that are doing that are having great success with these small, maybe 10 to 12 women in a group, but curated, inviting people that are perhaps like-minded, similar levels of wealth, similar types of interests, that kind of thing. Takes time to put that kind of event together, and small is good, but can be incredibly powerful and lucrative for an advisor if they get that right. The other way is sort of the other extreme, which I've personally experienced, a very fun, large, splashy event for like 2,000 women with tons of champagne. Right. Women love champagne, as it turns out. So back when I started doing this research, I was invited by NASDAQ in Stockholm to do a ladies' night keynote. And we had all of that there. But the big thing wasn't just a fun, splashy event. It was that and tons of networking. But they had an objective, which was to get women to buy stocks at the end of it. So I could say at the end of my presentation, okay, go out and buy a stock. And they're all hyped up. But yet they had all the vendors and investment firms and online banking standing by at the event at the stock exchange, opening accounts while these women are walking around drinking champagne. It was amazing. People were opening accounts left, right, and center. And then I ended up saying, listen, I want to hear what happened when you started investing. Call me, share with me, whatever, and I'll share some of the top success stories. So there was sort of like a follow-on with, here's what you can do, tell and talk about it. Women love to share.
That's an amazing story. That's such an unorthodox approach. I mean, that sounds more like a conference you would have for advisors than for private investors. So
yeah, they all bring their friends and they're all in the same snack bracket, if you will.
Oh, so, I'm not saying it critically. I think that's incredible. Like usually when you hear about what you just described, the room it's a room full of advisors who are, you know, influencers to their clients, of course, but if you can do the same kind of event, but for private investors, for investors, period, you're going to get a very, it's something, it seems like, wow, really?
I know. I've seen it work. We actually did the copy paste event in all different cities because it was so
effective. And then I think the context of being in Stockholm is even also very interesting because I don't think us over here in North America are thinking of Scandinavians or Northern Europeans as the same sort of breed of investment or capitalist, thinking investors as we tend to be here. But
I'll tell you, the women sure are. They've been the front they've been the front runners in this whole thing about women investing, and they continue to just be left, right, and center building these social platforms and really ahead. It's been great to be part of that.
And Barbara, I don't want to do a disservice to your white paper. You did mention that there's a lot of detail in the implementation strategies, two of which you just shared, but there's much, much more in that white paper than what we're time limited able to talk about here. So make sure you read the white paper. Looking ahead, what future trends do you anticipate in the alternative investments landscape, particularly concerning women's involvement?
I think, first of all, given this really solid piece of research, that some of this research is going to get actually implemented. I think a lot of these strategies will get implemented, and they are being implemented around the world right now. So I think that will continue. And if this goes the way it does with other asset classes, we'll see that alts gender gap close, be zero. I think that's happened with public equities. Thanks to the pandemic, actually, there were so many more women investing. The gap is now closed. And I think also, as we said earlier, we're going to see marketing innovation driven more by women, products designed by women in the investment industry. And, you know, no presentation goes without talking about AI. And an interesting example, a woman I spoke with for this research in South Korea mentioned she'd had a huge promotion recently as an alts fund manager. And the reason was because of AI, she had never been able to speak English properly, but she was able to do all of her communication now without the language barrier, thanks to generative AI. And it made a massive difference because she had all the knowledge, of course, to get the next big promotion. But now, since she could use Gen AI for the English part of it, she's running a very large alternative asset management portfolio in South
Amazing.
I think so. That's another example that will level the playing field for women moving forward in the alt space.
I wanted to make a point, which was that you know, we talked about the alts gender gap. And it reminded me that you know, a lot of the arguments that are being made by companies today are the gap that exists between retail investors and institutional investors.
Right.
That institutional investors have much larger proportions of alternative assets in their portfolios. They're less concerned with liquidity or illiquidity of some of those instruments. That when are investors going to realize that they can have more institutional-like portfolios that are more resilient, that can withstand more market shocks, that have more uncorrelated assets versus, you know, the core 60-40 portfolio? When are investors going to become less worried about tracking error and things like that, you know, versus looking out for themselves and their objectives instead of worrying about what their neighbors are doing? There's always the argument that, you know, there's the counter argument over the same idea, which is that, you know, private assets don't get marked to market the way public assets do. So they've got this unfair advantage of being, you know, smoother riding assets, right? They're not volatile. They don't get marked every day versus public markets. But the counter argument to that perennial argument about alternatives, about private assets, is why not? You know, like, why not have participation in private assets where you potentially have more input, you know, you potentially have more insight into what's going on internally? Why not be involved in those types of assets where if there is a short-term correction in the market, you're not affected in those asset categories, those private categories, and your portfolio has a smoother ride, which helps you to avoid making those classic behavioral mistakes.
Exactly. And it did come out that number one sector of interest for women was private equity, and particularly if they could have access to healthcare. Globally, women are most interested in healthcare and often femtech, as an example. So, you know, it comes back to what you were talking about earlier, that men would like better information as well. I think we all would. And so if we can all learn more about these unlisted companies and what the opportunities actually are and the stories behind them, we'll be way ahead of the game, both genders, I would say.
I think people would be startled to find out how many private companies there are in just in the U.S. alone, for example, that have revenues over $100 million a year.
No kidding. Yeah.
That was something that I was astonished by when I found out about it. I don't know what the exact number is anymore, but I was astonished by the proportion. And it was actually, it was the statistic that I quoted earlier, I think was just eight times the number of companies in the private equity market versus the public market. It was eight times the number of companies that have revenues over $100 million. Which it doesn't even begin to count, you know, the number of companies that have sub $100 million in annual revenues, or sub 50 or sub 10 million, where you know, you're getting into an even more vast marketplace that most investors have never had access to. And with all the changes that are happening in the marketplace and the accessibility improving through you know, all these new vehicles, and even, you know, ETFs and private equity markets, you know, these opportunities are becoming more widely available. I mean, you need good advising to navigate that, but it's out there. It's available. You only need to look for it. And that's the most amazing thing that I discovered. There's a lot of, you know, fantastic, capable practitioners in the marketplace, who would, you know, love nothing more than to spend the time explaining, you know, how the instruments work, how the solutions work, how to get into it. You only need to ask.
Yeah. And I just think I should remind all the advisors who are listening that women for sure want to make money the same way that men do. And they want to understand the risks and rewards the same way that men do. It just might take a bit longer to have the conversation because we tend to be kind of perfectionists around wanting to understand it all. But once a woman is interested in an investment opportunity and it's aligned with her personal interests, she'll definitely take a calculated risk and make the investment. There's no question.
Right. Yeah, that seems to be the biggest revelation of all. If indeed it is a revelation, I'm frankly surprised, but I'm not surprised. It's one of those paradoxical things.
It should be common sense, but it hasn't been. So here we're shining a light on it today.
Barbara, what advice would you give to women who are interested in exploring alternative investments but feel perhaps hesitant or overwhelmed?
I always give the same advice, whether it's alts or any other investment. It is that just get started. You know, just getting your feet wet. Take a small amount of money. It doesn't have to be a large amount of money. And just buy something. So whatever it is, do a little bit of your own research, buy anything, and let me know how it goes. I am always open to people talking with me by email, by chat, by whatever. I love it when women just get started investing. And the best way to overcome feeling overwhelmed or anything is to do it. It's kind of like public speaking or anything else. The more you do it, the less overwhelming it becomes. And there's kind of no other way around it. If you don't do it, it's not going to happen. So just get started.
Yeah.
Buy some alts.
Barbara, is there anything that we didn't talk about so far is there anything else that you'd like to share as a parting thought?
I would just like to thank Kensington for sponsoring this research. This research is incredibly important, and it's been wonderful to see the response to it from around the world and all of these other leaders I have thanked in the report. But if anybody's listening for their input, I mean, I asked 52 very senior people for their time to contribute, and not one of them said no, and not one of them got, like, their compliance department said no. So I was thrilled. I thought compliance would get involved and I wouldn't be able to produce this level of research, but it's been incredible to have all of that input from these types of people around the world. So thanks to anyone that was part of this program. And thank you to you as well for producing this podcast around it.
Well, we're honored to take part in this, to do this with you, and we're admirers of your work, and you know, we love what you're doing. We've been reading your work for many years now. And it's not, to tell you the truth, it's not just appealing to women, even though, you know, that is a big part of the intent of what you're doing is to reach more women with your intelligence that you've researched. It's universal. It's universally appealing.
That's so great to hear. I'll just keep up the good work then.
But Barbara, you know, please do. Thank you so much for your incredibly valuable time, your work, and your insight. It has been a pleasure to meet you and talk to you.
Same. Thank you so much, Pierre. I really appreciate it.